All right, so we're here. Are we?
Cold open?
Did you say bowl open?
Yeah, I said bowl open.
You're trying to do like a Shameless Post thing about the Hollywood Bowl, that we're going to be at the Hollywood Bowl?
On November 15th, yeah.
On November 15th. Oh, you think that I'm going to sit here and do a cold open that's just a shameless plug of Smartless Live at the Hollywood Bowl on November 15th? Sean, get a grip. I'm not going to do it. Okay. Tickets are on sale now. You want me to say that? You want me to say smartless.com/live? You want me to say that, Sean?
Well, no, I didn't want to. I wasn't saying you should say
that. No, I'm just saying it's gross.
Maybe.
It's gross.
All right.
Because then I'm sitting here and I'm going, Smartless Live at the Hollywood Bowl, November 15th. You know, tickets on sale now at smartless.com/live. Gross, dude. Gross.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, just don't insult me again, Smartless Live, November 15th. Let's go to the show.
Also, welcome to Smartless.
Yeah, obviously that.
Smart.
Oh, Willie, where are you?
New York City?
It's my new place in New York, yeah.
Do you love it?
What do you mean? You got a place?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Where are you? Are you doing press, Willie, for your movie?
No. I'm just, not yet. I'm about to, but I'm just getting sort of sorted here in my place.
Sure. And, you might be seeing a friend. Oh, look, he's got dollar bills.
So,
oh, he's got a gambling issue.
I've got a heavy
He likes to be as close to Atlantic City as possible.
Without going.
Uh-huh.
How are you? How is everybody doing? We haven't seen each other in like two weeks.
I know. I don't like it.
I saw JB last week a couple times. We played golf and then we went to an event. We did a little charity work together.
Oh, yeah. Will did some emceeing of a very special charity event, the Yes Charity.
Yes.
What is that about?
It's our friend Eric Eisner's charity, the Young Eisner Scholars. It's a really great, actually look it up. It's a very worthy cause, and they identify, kids from underserved communities who are really smart and helps guide
might
them
not otherwise have access to funds for higher education or for secondary education, however you call it. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That is nice. I was part of the TAG group when I was a kid. It stood for Talented and Gifted. And I couldn't do math, couldn't do anything. I don't know why I was there.
I'd love to just kind of just send it out to the group there, just freestyle on that acronym there.
I know.
Will, want to try a shot at that acronym?
I mean, I do.
T-A-G. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, let's not. Now,
talented and gay? Is that what it is?
No.
No.
Sean.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you think I'm going to say tight ass gays?
Jesus. Sean. Doesn't take cheap shots.
I'm not going to take a cheap shot, dude.
Oh, my God.
I'm not walking into your bullshit.
Oh, did Will just get a coffee from someone special?
I might have.
Was that is it the chef that just brought you some?
Today she is.
Everybody is so excited about your new love, Willie.
I got to tell you one thing really quick. Yesterday, we visited Sean Levy, our friend Sean Levy, on the set of Star Wars yesterday.
Oh, my God. Did you guys even get to sleep last night?
No, it was incredible. Look,
are you going to be able to do the show with a boner?
You're in hour 19 of that boner? Your lightsaber?
Who needs Viagra?
The people from Viagra called and they're like, hey, can we take your blood? Because we need to know.
Let me see that picture
again. Let me see that photo again.
Well, you can't.
This is
the
Sean
new
and
droid
Scotty.
in the new film.
Wow. How did they let you get a picture of that?
Well, we went to go to the creature shop. And then you
promised that you wouldn't show anybody.
That's right.
Listen to this.
It's a trap.
Remember, it's a trap. It's Scotty. Look at Scotty's making Admiral Akbar move. Isn't that wild?
No, that's weird that he's remembering a line of dialogue from, oh my God, he's making the mouth.
Return of the Jedi. Yeah, look at that.
Oh my God, you guys, that must have been like best day ever.
It was and Sean Levy, of course, is the greatest.
Yeah, the nicest guy.
Jason, you would do so well at directing one of those movies. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
Like one of those big
Let him know,
movies.
Sean.
let him know.
All right,
Mom.
Yeah.
My mom once said, you know what? You should call Steven Spielberg and let him know you'd like to work with them. What a great idea.
I know. Yeah. I love stuff like that. Uh-huh. Like, how come you don't work with better I remember somebody, somebody who we know who, but years ago, and she said that another person we know who is very famous said to her, like, you know, you should work with the greats and the Scorsese. And then she's like, oh, okay. Well, just give me their number. Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, you're right.
Listen, speaking of one of the greats, guys.
I love greats.
My guest today had quite the historic beginning. I just wrote this last night.
No, I can't.
When she was born, Martin Luther King Jr. and his wife Coretta paid the hospital bill.
What?
I didn't know this until I looked it up.
What?
She grew up in Georgia playing the clarinet in the school band, which I loved learning about. After graduation, she moved to New York, sold running shoes. Guess what? Chased an acting dream. On a film set 30 years ago, she picked up knitting, hasn't put the needles down since. Her kids once asked her if she was more famous than Taylor Swift. These days, she's happiest at her ranch in New Mexico. You could call her an Oscar winner. You could call her America's sweetheart. You could call her my sweetheart. But today, I'll just call her the brilliant and always
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, my God.
Julia Roberts.
Hello, Julia.
Ooh, the bright yellow. That's so cute.
Hi.
She's wearing a firefighter uniform, folks.
It's Boy Scouts.
Oh, Boy Scouts.
It's Boy Scouts.
Oh, it is Boy Scouts?
I did a little Boy Scout.
Julia Roberts. Hi.
Hi.
How cool that you're doing this
Thank
show.
Thank you, Sean, for that intro.
All my research.
It was sort of like a haiku about one's grandmother or something. The clarinet and knitting.
I didn't know you played the clarinet and the oboe. Those are the two hardest instruments.
Wait a second. You don't want to get into Martin Luther King paid for the hospital?
No, I was going to get there too.
Yes,
so let's start with that. Martin Luther King paid the bill. Why?
They were friends with your parents.
Yes.
Really?
And I not knowing the state of my family's financial situation as a brand new born baby, I guess they were maybe just going to have to smuggle me out in the middle of the night.
So this
made it, we could go out the front door.
I'm gonna sound dumber than usual.
This is going to be a stretch. Okay, good.
What is the bill for having a baby in it? Isn't that usually
in 1975?
Right. Yeah. Like, but isn't it?
Thanks.
Not,
my new favorite, Will Arnett.
Yeah, he's slick.
Yeah, you've got kids, you know. These are not cheap endeavors.
He's so out of touch.
But my Screen Actors Guild insurance. but isn't it all paid by the mystery elves that are insurance? Isn't that they're the same people that do the laundry, right?
Julia, welcome to Smartless. Welcome to
Jason, I love you so
much for this.
What's amazing is I am such a Jason Bateman fan.
No,
and
you're
this up close exchange now that we've seen each other in person, we've never, I'm like really just like staring at you right now and you can't even tell. And
I could spend years with you. You're the greatest.
Do you know the first Bateman I ever truly loved is your mom? Your mom. When I met your mom
on a plane,
she is just like, she's just such a, she just has sparks that kind of shoot off. She's so beautiful and so sweet, and the accent and the whole thing, and
the
just
whole British accent. She nailed it.
Yeah.
Because she was a flight attendant for Pan Am. Did you meet her on a plane?
That just adds to the allure
with
of
the bowler
her.
Hat and everything.
Yeah.
Or was it on set of Satisfaction?
It was on Satisfaction.
Yeah.
Wait, why was your mom on the set of Satisfaction?
Because I guess Justine wasn't yet 18, maybe, or was my mom just there visiting, maybe? So Julia was in a movie with my sister Justine way back
when. It was before we were on location. We were in Los Angeles for a long time because I came out to California and I was probably there for like at least 3 weeks before we went on location because we had all that band practice, see.
Boy, so cringy.
If only I could have played the clarinet in that movie.
That would have
been
Will, Will does a great horn player.
Air clarinet.
Air clarinet, just making sure the reed is nice and wet.
Nice and wet. And just and then
I only do it
out.
To the theme song of Law & Order.
Oh, right,
when
getting
clarinet, ready. And I wet the reed as I'm waiting and then I flip the page.
Scotty does that too all the time. You ever let the spit out at the bottom?
That's so dumb.
Yeah, careful.
Spit valves.
All right. So, where were we? So we were Martin Luther King paid the bill. That's just incredible.
Isn't that wild? Right. How did they know each other, Julia?
My parents had a theater school, and the King kids went to that school.
Oh, wow.
And so then my parents became friends with them. And
that's amazing.
So the King kids wanted to be actors.
I mean, I think one of them, and again, this is, I'm reaching back into my first days of life, but as I recall, I think one of them did have maybe some acting aspirations, but it was more than anything, I think it was just sort of, you know, hobbyist after school weekend kind of thing to do with your kids. And
So your parents ran a theater school. Mm-hmm. Or like a theater thing. Sean, imagine the stories that the theater
I know,
stories.
I can't even. Have.
Sean is going crazy now.
Oh, he loves a good theater
Sean
story.
Sean loves a theater story.
Well, now, Julia, you've done a lot of great
theater.
You've
done Broadway.
Do you have any, like, anybody ever have a heart attack in the crowd? Let's just get right to it.
Yeah, let's get
to it. He usually saves these winners for the end.
No, well, I have an opening night story that is pretty good, but it's might be long. Maybe it's better.
Oh, no.
We've got 45 minutes left.
Never too long.
Yeah.
So I did a play with Bradley Cooper and Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw this one. This one with the rain.
Yes.
What a cast!
Yes.
I was there.
Ah, bravissimo.
I was there.
It rained inside the theater, mm-hmm. which was great for everyone but the people in the front row, mm-hmm. Which we discovered they were all kind of being pelted. But
like, didn't Julie?
3 days of rain.
Every day, someone would go like, "Oh my God, I'm wet!" And it's like, "Well, yeah, that's the
congrats. You got front row seats."
Well, I don't think you go to the theater thinking that the rain in the show is going to get on you.
Sure,
I wouldn't think that.
No,
right.
But you know, we had rehearsed this play. As you guys know, it goes on and on and on forever, and then it just all you want to do is just start the thing. The opening night comes and nerves are high. Just even thinking about it, I'm getting a little short of breath. And
get your beta blocker.
Yeah. So the play starts. Paul's on stage by himself, and it's his apartment set. And there's just this sort of like bare mattress, you know, apartment in New York. And he's reading this. He's thumbing through this book, and then there's a knock at the door. Open the door, and it's his sister. Played by yours truly, clarinet player. And, I come in and what's in his hand is our father's diary that he's just found. And he's been reading it and he's crazed and he's manic over what he's discovered. And he's talking about it and he's talking about it. And he tosses it on the bed as he has done 9,458 times in rehearsal.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And this book skitters across the mattress, hits the front of the stage, and into the aisle.
No way. No way.
Which is fine for the next 4.5 minutes until I say, but...
And you got to open it.
Look at this. Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. Or Paul says oh it. He picks it up. And so we keep going, but we're looking at each other like, this has never happened before. What happens mm-hmm. when this happens? Because this has never happened before.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, someone working on the show who has seen this happen sort of commando crawls down the aisle and says to the man in the front row, sir, you know, pick that up and just put it on the stage. And the man's like, what? Huh? What? Paul and I are acting our little hearts out. Just pick it up. Put it.
Look how excited Sean is. This is one of the great stories.
So the man picks it up and he kind of like doesn't quite know. I mean, I wouldn't want to touch a prop or, you know, and he puts it on the stage. At the exact, you couldn't have planned it better, at the exact moment that Paul goes, no, I'll read it to you. And he picks it up.
Ah, that's great.
At the second, and then Paul, being the amazing human being that he is, just turns and looks at the man. He goes, thank you.
And
everybody in the audience, you could just feel everybody let out their breath that
I
we didn't
that.
Realize we were
I
holding, and we sort of went on for there.
This is the magic of theater, you know?
Yeah.
I want to get back to the beginning, Julia, because I did all this research, and it was, you know, you think you know somebody, and then you actually do read about them. You're like, oh, I didn't know.
And then you realize, wow, nothing that I've read is actually factual.
We believe media.
So wait, so... when you were a kid, you wanted to, so you played the clarinet, we covered that. You were a vet, you sold shoes.
We really haven't covered that. I'm going to get double back
I was
that.
A doctor. Did you hear? He goes, you were a vet and you sold shoes.
No, you wanted to be a vet, a veterinarian of pets. Yeah, yes. I didn't know that. That's so cool.
Wait, how old were you before the vet thing went away? Because doesn't every kid wants to be a vet.
Everybody does. I was in the 4-H club. I mean, like, I thought this was great. And it wasn't until I discovered that I don't really have a mind for science.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
I just wanted to do the petting and the, you know, I could take out a toothbrush and put some mange medicine on if necessary, but I didn't want to do surgeries.
What was the most involved thing you've ever done with an animal? Like, have you milked a cow? Have you changed horseshoes?
I've milked a cow.
You have?
I have not changed, or I've watched the farrier do it, but I've not done it myself.
What's it called? A farrier?
A farrier.
Mm. See, I would lose that on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I wouldn't know what that name is.
You could call me.
I could call you.
You would know.
Oh my God, she'd be your security call or whatever. You know what I mean? I'd like to call Julia Roberts.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be so good.
When did you say, screw veterinarian, I want to be an actor?
I mean, I don't know that I had that kind of moment where I thought, this is the path I want my life to take. I mean, my parents were artists. I have an older brother and sister. They're artists. My sister was going to the neighborhood playhouse when I moved to New York, and moved in with her. And that's when I was working at the Athlete's Foot on 72nd and Broadway, right by the Grace Papaya and Popeyes.
No way.
That's great.
And I worked there for a while. And I think it was just realizing that college was not going to be in the cards for me. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I mean, I had moved to New York really just because I wanted to be back with my sister because she had been gone for 2 years and we were so close and I missed her.
Gone from Georgia?
Yeah.
But you were like, you were thinking what? That you were just going to go to New York and something different was going
to
happen.
Yeah, I don't want to embarrass you, but I was modeling a pull at all?
I did get called in to a couple of agencies, and there was an agency called Click Models. God, I completely forgot about this. You have jogged a piece of the puzzle out of my
let's
mind.
Let's get into it.
And I did go meet a really nice woman there.
Wait, Flick and Click. Wasn't it Flick and Click?
I don't think so.
No?
That doesn't sound good at all.
I think that's something else,
No. I think it was. I actually think it was.
It was Click Modeling. Click like click a camera click. There's no flicking.
Click and Flick. So it was I swear to God. Anyway. No.
I think that's a massage. Okay. Yeah. So, Julia, but really to answer the question, you weren't like, okay, I'm leaving Georgia now. I'm going to be an actor, so I'm moving to New York. You were going because your sister was there, and you just
thought. But Eric had already been working, no?
He's 11 years older than I am, so he had a career by the time I graduated from high school. But to answer your question, everybody was sort of leaving home to go to school.
Yeah.
And I did not want to be like, okay, I'll see you guys when you get back.
Right
here in my mom's apartment. Nobody worry.
What about college? You said college wasn't a thing for you. Why was that? Because it wasn't for me either.
It wasn't financially feasible, and I certainly didn't have the grades for any kind of a scholarship.
Should have called the King family.
I'd relied on them once already. I just felt like I didn't want them to have to support me the whole way around.
And were you to study something in college at that age? Had the veterinary thing had gone? Had passed?
That had gone.
Right.
I think I probably would at that time, because you have to remember this is 1985. I graduated from high school. Yeah. And I probably would have wanted to be a home economics teacher.
Oh, wow.
Something I'm happy to bring back into the school system now, if asked. Yeah.
What's a home? What does that mean, home economics? What does that mean,
Professor
Roberts?
So many
things. I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Well, I'm an idiot. I don't know what that is.
No, it was such a great class because it covered, sewing, but it was like sewing, mending. It was practical things. You learn how to write a check. You learn how to sew on a button. You learn how to iron a shirt.
Is that where you learn knitting?
No, I learned I learned how to knit from the standby painter on the Pelican Brief. Eric nice. Bart taught me how to knit.
Yeah. Wow.
The standby painter, yeah. They got a lot of kit stuff right there.
right at your disposal.
How are you know, oh, yeah, they got that bucket they sit on. It's got a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah. We'll be right back. And now back to the show.
Hey, I feel like I'm not a great parent for many reasons. One of them is that I haven't taught my kids how to iron, how to wash a window mm-hmm. without getting streaks on it. How, like my parents, like I had 20 chores every weekend until the day I moved out when I was 18. Mm-hmm. Have you been good about teaching your kids, like, do they know how to like iron a shirt without wrinkling the fabric that's underneath it? How to separate mm-hmm. it over an ironing board and put the sleeve over the little wedge portion of the board and like all that stuff. Like you don't know it till you know it.
You don't know it till you know it. Well, I would say there's a yes and a no here because I feel like a lot of the things that I learned from my mom, I either learned because like you, long list of chores that started right when I got home from school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And paused only to watch the Mike Douglas show and then right it. Back to the chores.
Mike Douglas, I love it.
Yeah.
And Phil Donahue.
Yeah. I mean,
mm-hmm. JB, were you ever on the Mike Griffin. Douglas show?
No, I got bumped a couple times, but no, I'm kidding.
Did you?
No, you couldn't possibly, even in your.
I did do Merv Griffin. I did Oprah. What else?
Bunch Phil of Donahue. Johnnies.
Yeah, Phil Donahue. Never Phil Donahue.
You know what? I slept with this guy.
Uh-oh.
In Chicago.
Named Phil Donahue?
No.
What a headline this is going to be. Sean Hayes slept with Phil Donahue.
Not God, the Phil wait. Donahue. Don't, a don't, Phil Donahue.
Don't no, tell sorry, his hey. Wife.
It's Philip K. Donahue.
No, I just slept with a guy once in Chicago, and then he ended up on the Phil Donahue show because he was the Chicago, he was the Chicago like weatherman that then did porn. It was so crazy.
Whoa,
and my family.
Wait, what?
You just said so many things in one sentence.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I slept with him once. And I remember his name. And he was a Chicago weatherman on the TV. And then then one day he was on Phil Donahue because he left that career and was a porn star. I was like, what? It was the craziest thing.
So anyway. you had no warning on this. You were just watching your Donahue like you do every day.
Yep, that's it. Wow. There he is.
And there's your guy, and he's on there because it was like a porn story that had gone wrong.
It was in America. It was like, wow, there's a gay person on television.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, that was before.
Oh, Shawnee. Oh,
anyway, God. Let's get back to you.
Let's get back. You know what I want to get
everybody okay, take a quick shower.
Yeah.
So, Julia, what I don't know, and maybe Wikipedia can answer this, but I'd love to hear from you. What was your first professional acting gig?
Yeah.
Crime Story.
Mm. One episode. Precursor to Law and Order? Am I being a dummy?
Dennis Farina, 1950s, Michael Mann TV show in Las Vegas. Dennis Farina, the nicest man you could imagine.
The great Dennis Farina.
And
what was your character? Were you a damsel in distress or were you a bad person?
I was a 15-year-old girl living with my mother, played by Hannah Cox, and her, I feel like, kind of newish husband, and he was maybe not being a good stepfather to me.
No, Julia.
If you catch my...
Yeah,
yeah, catching your drift.
I'm really bringing the mood down with this. This is no weatherman turned porn star story, but so did that, and that was a great experience, and, you know, but...
You were living in New York at the time? You got cast out of New York?
Yes.
Okay. So it was a big moment. It was exciting at the time, obviously.
Oh, yes. Oh, it was huge. It was huge.
Yeah. So then you were able to sort of start your work and start to gain momentum before there was huge pressure on you to sort of pay a lot of rent and to really like declare this is what my career is going to be. Yeah. So you were still young enough to kind of like dip your toe in it and see if you get any traction. Is that kind of how things started?
That sounds nice, the way you put all that. Let's
somebody
jot that down. Well, you know what it is, too?
He likes to bundle. He's bundling
it. I just to say. I met, there was an agent. I was with my brother and his girlfriend coming from dinner one night. And you know, they lived uptown. And so they sort of ran into some people they knew. And one of the women they were chatting with was a talent agent. And she, I don't know if she called my brother later or his girlfriend or something and said, oh, you know, does she act? Or, and she called me into her office. And and after a nice conversation, she said, well, I can't do anything for you, but I know someone who might be able to, you know, guide you here. Yeah. And she sent me to meet this man called Bob McGowan, who was from Atlantic City and was dating the star of All My Children, Kim Delaney.
Yes, wow. I know.
And he was just this, he seemed to me to be the nicest, most energetic guy with time and money to spare. And he loved helping young people realize their dreams. I mean, he became my manager. I once went into his office and said, Bob, I was at the Empire Diner today, and there's this guy, he was our waiter, and he wants to be an actor. And I said, you've got to come meet Bob.
And
he did, and he signed him. And that was Dylan Walsh.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
No,
that's so crazy. Bob was just this kind of incredible man who just loved being the facilitator, you know, he just loved putting people together, and that was kind of
a nice early advocate. And you stayed with him for a while.
Yes.
Yeah. And then what was the project that gave you the kind of momentum that would push you into sort of like, well, I need not pursue other things. I think this might work out for at least a few years.
Mystic Pizza.
Yeah.
Did you get nominated for that? Or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
Way to go, Sean.
Nice.
You know, is there, and is
I did get nominated for Independent Spirit Award for Mystic Pizza.
That's what you're thinking of, Sean, right?
That's what he was thinking of.
And I lost to Jodie Foster for Five Corners.
All right.
Julia, was there, again, I say this a lot, but at risk of embarrassing you, was there sort of Mystic Pizza, you know, crime story, then Mystic Pizza and everything. Was there a kind of a life before Pretty Woman and life after Pretty Woman? Is that fair to say? It must have changed your life in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Well, it was a joke to start with, but it's actually completely true when people say, oh, you know, when Pretty Woman came out, did it just completely change your life? And I said, well, I was out of town when it came out, which is the joke, but I was on location shooting Sleeping with the Enemy in
one of my faves.
Tiny
one
little faves. Town, thank you. And it wasn't playing at the Sticky Shoe Theater where I was. And I remember one of the crew guys was reading USA Today, and he goes, hey, your movie's in the paper. And it just kind of said, like, you know, box office, there was like a little square and it said Pretty Woman and it said what the box office was. Number meant nothing to me. I was like, hey, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know if it was a great number, if it was a good number, if it was like,
wow.
So in a way, the momentum of that moment passed me by a little bit. So I think I was probably spared.
Well, you're also in work mode, and that helps as a distraction to that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Do you long for those days of sort of the naivete and sort of just like, well, just kind of doing the work and having the fun and playing make believe and not being aware of sort of the machinations of this interesting business, do you like how complicated this business is?
Is it complicated?
Well, in certain areas, in the areas that are completely unpredictable and without any sort of meritocracy, I guess.
I just feel like there's so much more choice than we allow ourselves to believe. Mm. Like, I can choose to get super caught up in some of the things that really we have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
I have long given up reading anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
You still just love doing it for what you're doing, right?
It's so fun. I love it so much.
You're
it's
so
such
great
a goofy little job. And
yeah.
I have a Google News alert on you. Just don't worry. So I'm reading all your stuff for you. And you're fine.
I'm listening and I'm reading and yeah. I'm
wait, so when Steel so you were filming Sleeping with the Enemy before Steel Magnolias?
No, Steel Magnolias was first. So I filmed Steel Magnolias. I filmed Mystic Pizza, and then I... Don't you have my IMDb help?
Yes, I know,
then
but I want
did
you
Mystic
to tell
Pizza,
it.
Then I did Steel Magnolias.
Yeah.
Then I did Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
Then I did Flatliners.
Right.
Then I did Sleeping with the Enemy.
And me. And then, you know the thing in Steel Magnolias, Scotty's diabetic, and when you had that scene, Scotty had a scene like that
yeah.
in real life, and I'd only watched Steel Magnolias like for the first time, like,
saved
7-8 years ago.
Crazy.
What? No.
Saved his life.
Thanks for the support.
Just 7 years ago.
Yeah. Oh my God. I've seen Sleeping with the Enemy like 17 times. I have. I've seen it a billion times. Yeah. But
But
that scene was so real.
So Scotty's flatlining. Go ahead. No,
that scene was so real when you had the diabetic thing. And mm-hmm. and when he was, when we first started dating, we've been together almost 20 years. And he would do, let's go on to the next question. Good Lord.
Well, I feel like you're circling the airport. You're about to take the landing gear
down.
Can
I tell you, because you said, has anything crazy ever happened during a play? But during screening of Steel Magnolias, there were a lot of reports of people having sort of like physical responses,
reactions to that.
People who are predisposed to these outbursts, these conditions.
It was wild.
Julia, I'm going to tell you a true story, truer than Sean and Scotty. I guess flatlining, watching Steel Magnolias, I don't know what happened, but.
No. He almost died, and it was, but he was going into that kind of shaking kind of crazy thing. And he.
Here we come.
And
the landing gear is down. I think the landing gear is down.
It's fine. It was just
approach
amazing
the airport.
How, it was amazing, an amazing performance
feet.
And how true to life that actually
thank
really
you,
was.
Sean. Yeah. Thank you, Sean. Thank you. I'm with you. Someone just told me that there's, a smoothie place or something on Fire Island, and they have a smoothie called Drink Your Juice, Shelby.
Ah, yeah, very good. Very
I'm going to say, I'm gonna say.
Will,
like
any
December?
Fire Island smoothie jokes?
Hey, Jason.
Come on,
I just
Jason.
Like to tee him up, you know?
I'm going to say December 1991.
Thank you, Mary Lou.
I'm in Stowe,
Mary Lou Henner,
Vermont,
I'm with you.
Skiing with my dad and my brother.
I went to Stowe, Vermont.
And I saw you having breakfast in this little breakfast place. I just remembered that. I haven't thought about this in years. And you were with a bunch of people, and you were having breakfast. And
what did I eat?
Not for nothing.
Wow. Yeah. And mine was bad?
Yeah. Well, just
mine
tons
was
of
short.
Great stories.
Mine was short. Okay.
That's true.
Well,
that's
yeah,
true.
And I was only there one time, Stowe, Vermont.
I was there the one time you were in Stowe, Vermont.
There you go.
Can we talk about, your career is just incredible and enormous and something we can
and Aaron
spend.
Brockovich. I mean,
to the extent you're comfortable, I think one of the greatest things in your life is your marriage.
It's been forever,
and that's not common.
Yes.
And this guy is like a great guy, incredibly talented. I really dork out over cinematographers. Are you comfortable talking about like, is there a key? Is there a secret? I mean, this is like a great success story.
And how you met.
Danny Motor, everybody.
Danny Motor. First let me just say this. Is that I really like your podcast. He loves this podcast.
No,
and I
really?
Was trying
get him
to
out here.
Be on it without telling him so that he would just like be tuning in and all of a sudden there's this old lady's voice. But it didn't.
That's nice.
And he saw my agenda book and he was like, smartless.
Well, you're fans of
his. I love that. I remember seeing you at a charity event and you were with Danny and you just looked at him and you looked at me and you go, isn't he the best? I just love him. And it was so sweet. I just thought that was
so
the sweetest.
So cute, Julia. Yeah. What's the secret, darling?
I know, I'm getting all sweaty. It's really
You seem like your buddies. Yeah?
Well, he's my best friend.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
And, but also the only person I want to make out with. So I think it's mm-hmm. that combination of things mm-hmm. is...
Amen. Yeah.
But you know what? Here's the thing, because you just don't know. And you never want to give all the credit away to one person and say, I owe it all to this one person. But honestly...
This is the section about Kevin Huvane. Here we go. I wanted to talk about Danny.
For Tracy, he's an agent. He's a big agent in Hollywood.
But 25 years later, I mean, I just think, gosh, my life could have gone off the rails 100 different ways in the last 25 years were it not for finding my person. I don't know how. I don't know absolutely. What small nation of people I saved in a former life. Or
I feel the same way. Yeah.
And did you guys work on a project together? Is that how you met?
Yes, we met on a movie called The Mexican.
Oh yeah. Good looking movie.
Mr. Pitt. Yeah.
And he was on that movie, and they had been shooting for about 3 weeks. And he was the focus puller on that movie?
Yeah.
And he and Brad were always next to each other and always talking.
Right.
Brad Pitt
and
from his sister.
So I come in and I'm like the new one, and I'm like, you know, they're talking about, I don't know, a new, you know, record that's come out or something. I'm like, oh, I love that.
trying to jump in there.
I love that band. Oh, yeah. And I kind of start humming it and be like,
music.
Oh, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. And they're just like so locked into each other. I was just looking for a way in the conversation. That one day, this man that I was just trying to have a conversation with would be my husband.
Wow, that's so cute.
And then you finally had a conversation.
Mm-hmm. We had a conversation, and he has not gotten me to shut up in 25 years.
I love that.
But the fact that you're able to schedule and work out all these kind of you go away, he goes away, let's meet up every couple of weeks. Like, it's got to be just so difficult. I know, high class problems, listener. I apologize.
These are high class problems. But you want to know something? We have in all these years, and we have three awesome kids. Mm. And only one time in our lives, and the kids were probably, they were all under five for sure, and now they're all in college. But there was one time when I was doing Eat, Pray, Love, and Danny was shooting a movie in Detroit. Mm. And we were apart.
So you were in India, right?
For 7 weeks.
Oh, wow. That's long.
And, I mean, I was lucky because I at least had the kids with me. Uh-huh. But and there was just no way. Even one time I did have 3 days off in a row, and I thought, oh, great, we can, you know. And even if I went as the crow flies from New Delhi to Detroit, it would, we could have hugged and I'd have to turn around. Like, it was 7 weeks. And when he finished and he came and joined us, and we were just like, wow, that will never work.
All right, so you said the kids are in college now. How recent have you become an empty nester?
It's been 2.5 weeks.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. So I just sent my first one away, but it was just down the street to USC. So I'm happy about that. But I'm not anticipating doing well when the 13-year-old goes away in 5 years. And being empty. How are you doing?
Yes, but you and your wife are crazy about each other. So it's all going to be okay. I think it's when the kids leave and you turn around and you're like,
ew, who are you?
What are you still doing here?
Yeah.
That's when you run into troubles.
You were supposed to go too,
like, are you still here?
Good call.
That's amazing. All right. I love that you revealed just in that, you know, you're the first cover star of the brand new 72 magazine, which is really cool. And you revealed, George Clooney interviewed you, and you revealed your dream 7-person dinner guest list, which I love. And the first person you named was Danny, which was great.
Oh, that's good.
And Jesus and Virginia Woolf and Joni Mitchell. It was a great list. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because whenever someone asks you a question like that and you have to, you know, rapid fire answer and you feel like, and then afterwards you go like, oh, that'd be a good dinner party. And then, of course, for the rest of the day, it's like, oh, but what? Oh, yeah, it should have been this person. And what about that person? And, but I think I did. I mean, wouldn't it, Jesus coming to dinner?
Yeah, I'm just
trying
to think, what would I ask him? What would I ask him today? You know, versus last year or something.
Yeah.
George would be a good guest at that, right?
George Clooney.
Yeah, guy can talk.
Yeah.
Very good storyteller.
Mm-hmm. Great storyteller.
Yeah, he told us that classic about crapping in the cat box.
Oh my, it's one of the greatest stories of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, and I hadn't heard it until he came out of the pocket. It was great. And Julia's
but even better than hearing George tell it is Richard telling it because the voice, Richard's voice is so.
Oh, Kitty.
Yeah. He's great. I love that guy.
And we will be right back. And now, back to the show.
Wait, so I read that you saved a 7-page love letter from Danny to someday show your kids?
Well,
and have you showed your kids?
That's the first letter he ever wrote me. I have all the letters. And in fact, someone gave us a great present many years ago. These two beautiful sort of ceramic earthen pots.
Uh-huh.
And the lid on one pot inside is painted love letters to Julia from Danny, and the other one is to Danny from Julia. And so there's all these, like, just shoving stuff in there for years. There's just no telling what's at the bottom of these jars.
Right.
But yeah, we are, we're big on paper in our house, and our kids are now too. So it's nice to, like, I opened a book the other day, and there was a post-it from my oldest son in the handwriting of maybe like a 7-year-old, which is not too dissimilar from his handwriting now, but I could see the time. And it just said, "Mom, I'm so, 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 so sorry."
Uh-oh.
What did I do? Yeah. And I thought, oh, I wish I had written on the other side of the post-it, what the grievance was.
Yeah. Other than your wedding day, and the birth of your gorgeous children, if you could pick one year to relive, what would it be? Because it was so great.
Because it was so great?
Yeah. I love that. Somebody just asked me that the other day.
A whole year.
Sean's coming with a classic.
A whole year.
A whole year or a day? Or is there one day?
Don't back off, Sean.
Yeah. No, mine was any year in college. I just loved my college life. I loved it.
Well, I'd love to see that.
Wow.
I was a crazy person. It was great.
I don't know. I'm just thinking any year that I could go back and spend with before my father passed away. He passed away when I was young. And so I feel like even though I don't kind of say, oh, this was a great year and I want to relive that year, just to have any year with the knowledge that this is special because it's not going to last.
Yeah, I love that.
Was he the one that was running the theater school? Was it your dad and your mom together?
It was my dad and my mom together, but I think my dad was the captain.
Was he alive long enough to start to experience some of your momentum?
No, he's a child.
Very child.
He would have loved it.
Yeah. Did that? I mean, well, that's just a dumb question, but like, what did you, how did you, where
did that affect my life?
I mean, how is this holding you back? How is this holding you back now?
Like, no, because my dad, I mean, I guess I haven't thought about it either. My dad left.
Get ready, Will.
My dad left when I was like 5 or 6.
He did? How?
He just literally walked out the door.
He did? With the keys or?
Yeah. But
surely he came back.
You guys are cruel.
Was there a vehicle involved? We got to have one of those things like Stern with the little sound things, just the screeching tires. Anytime his parents
come up. Oh, you're right. We do. We need Fred here to do that.
No, but there was something like with the fact that I think growing up
abandonment
was like,
can be funny.
Yeah.
Well,
it has to be.
A good
if you didn't laugh, you'd cry. I think that's the kind of, you know.
Yeah. I mean, my mom had Alzheimer's too, which is once I cried.
So she doesn't remember him leaving.
Oh my God. You guys.
That's the good news.
I cannot play like this.
We find the good in everything.
You have to.
This is how we love. Julia, this is how we love each other.
This is how we love. And also, but if I didn't make jokes or laugh about, I cried for 3 years straight about my mom having Alzheimer's. She's passed away since then, but I cried and cried and cried and tried to take care of her, and every one of our family members tried to take care of her. And then after a while, you have to have some levity. So anyway, one time she was at this memory care place, and there was a band there, there was a live band, and I was sitting with Scotty and his mom, and
what a gig.
Yeah, and
was one of the top bands.
Bunch of people who won't remember you. They're like, should we play some of the old hits? Doesn't matter. They don't know. It's new to them. Everything's new to them. You can play a Beatles song and just say, we just wrote this.
No, that's what I say. That's what I'm saying. That's why you have to make light of it, because otherwise you'll die crying. No. Okay. So, anyway,
call this
a band.
One satisfaction. I just wrote it in the car on the way here.
So we're sitting there, and I'm sitting there with Scotty and Scotty's mom, and all of a sudden, Scotty's mom, who's one of the sweetest people in the world, she gets up and starts dancing. She says to my mom, Mary, she's like, Mary, come on and dance. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, she's going to get up, and then she tries to grab me, and she goes, Sean, come on, let's dance. I go, Mom, I don't want to dance. There's all these people watching in this room, and there's a dance floor, and I'm like, no, Mom, I don't want to watch. She goes, come on, let's dance. I go, no, Mom, I don't want. She goes, don't be such a pussy. And I was like, what? She would have never said that.
Did you die laughing, though?
Oh, my God, I laughed.
Did you dance with her?
No. Oh. I was too embarrassed.
Sean.
I know. I wish I could now. Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, no, she was sweet, though. But anyway,
you and Tracy must have laughed at that one. Oh,
God. So my whole family, we obviously loved her so much. But anyway, so this is a good one I wrote down, because somebody asked me this the other day. If you had to marry, this is for everybody. Julia, if you had to marry a woman. Guys, if you had to marry a guy. Me, if I had to marry a woman. Who would it be? Mine would be Carrie or Raina or Allie or Jen or Amanda. Mm. I would marry Jason's wife, Amanda. If you had to marry a girl.
That's a lot of people, and I didn't even like make the top 10. Mm-hmm.
And hang on, I'm not done. Julia.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there you go.
I would marry either Frances McDormand or Kate Blanchett or Emma Thompson.
Nice.
Wow.
Those are good answers.
Those are pretty good.
There's more, but I'm limiting myself to three.
Yeah. Guys, you had to marry a guy.
I would marry one of these two guys because of the formula you were talking about before, which is you got to marry a friend if you want it to last.
That's right.
I've always thought, and so far I'm right, because I do really like that Amanda.
I'd marry, same thing. I'd marry one of these two guys because they're guys that I love and that I like. And Jason, we'd be able to share golf clubs.
Yeah.
And because we have, like, I tried his wedge the other day. It's great. And also Jason, because I'd love to marry a known bottom.
And then you don't want to have to do any fighting. Right. No negotiating. Right.
And I would be one of these two guys. I love these guys so much. And
I love you guys too.
I want to hear about your new thingy,
okay.
Julia.
So I just watched it last night. I couldn't wait to talk about it.
They're locked, Sean. So watch the notes.
I loved it so much.
Wait, okay. What is it?
The Hunt. It's called After the Hunt. I just watched it last night. What an awesome, dark, complicated character you're playing. As always, I believed every moment, every word coming out of your mouth.
Thank you.
And it was crafted in such a way that reminded me of, and now After the Hunt will be on that list, Doubt, what's the other one? Like Conclave, After the Hunt. Like they're all kind of brilliantly made, brilliantly performed. Your performance was incredible. And the end, I was like, because the whole time I'm like, what's going on? What is happening? And then the reveal was so cool. I mean, crazy, but cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for coming.
Loved,
Julia,
love to
you
hear
must be
question.
Proud of it. It sounds like sounds like a pretty high level.
What drew you to the material?
Luca Guadagnino, who is just
He did Call Me By Your Name. I mean, tons of great movies.
He is so wonderful as a person and so innovative and the most curious person I've ever met. He's so curious about people and why we do the things we do and why we don't do things and just every detail of everything he is. There's nothing that you're seeing that hasn't been specifically chosen in this shade of color and this statue and this painting being slightly askew or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just really,
There's a really cool moment, too, when Aya, right?
Io Debris.
So sorry. So when you and Io are, it's kind of towards the end and you have this incredible scene outside of this building and it starts as like regular over the shoulder and then it just cuts to you guys looking right into the can. I love that. It was so effective. Yeah, as you're finishing this argument, just right into the camera, cutting back and forth directly. It was really cool.
Oh, I can't wait.
By the way, 6 minutes standing ovation at the Venice Film Festival.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. People tried to sit down. I was like, oh, no. Yeah. No sitting.
Don't be rude.
I just loved it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad. Thank you. I'm glad you got to see it. Yeah. Oh, Luca just texted me. How crazy.
Wow. Crazy.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Tell him he's doing well.
He must have felt us talking about him.
Is it nice to launch a film at a festival like that as opposed to just sort of a standard kind of release where it just kind of comes out?
I've never really had an experience like this before, so it's nice to do new things, you know, especially this.
What do you mean? What do you mean you haven't had an experience?
Well, I mean, I've never been to the Venice Film Festival, for one thing. And I mean, I guess George and I went to Cannes a few years ago, but that was the first time I'd ever been to Cannes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Because on television, they all look so terrifying. Like, why would you want to put yourself there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so if people say, oh, do you want to go to Cannes? No, thank you.
off-season. Right.
Yeah, it just looks so terrifying. People screaming and...
But what about all the glam and festivities of it all? Is that appealing in the slightest? Playing dress up and all that stuff.
Once you say yes, once you commit to it, then you have to have a sporting event mentality about it. You're going to have a great time. Danny had on a tuxedo. It was great.
Yeah, nice.
That part was great.
One final question before we let you go, because we've taken up way too much of your time. What is the coolest or weirdest or amazing piece of memorabilia from any film? Have you kept anything that you love?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Because there's so many iconic films.
I
contaminated
forget.
Soil from Aaron Brockovich, surely.
But no, water samples,
okay.
No.
But
I haven't done anything cool like a
costume or like a shirt or any.
I have a lot of costumes. And somewhere I actually think I have some wedding dresses from Runaway Bride.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Do you have a place you keep them? From your house?
It's probably dangerously just in the garage in New Mexico. And maybe there's just generations of mice that have made homes now that
they're trying it on. They're trying it on.
In these boxes.
Yeah.
But not really. More like I have a beautiful drawing that Meryl Streep did for me of my character that she gave me as a wrap gift from August Osage County.
I love that movie. Mm.
That movie's so good.
Some things like that.
I love that. What a
George,
cast.
Eat your fish.
George
eat your fish.
That movie. Yeah, what, eat your fish, bitch. George Clooney produced that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very good.
Okay, so it premieres. So it's called After the Hunt. It premieres, select theaters October 10th and wider October 17th. It's so good.
I loved it.
I loved it so much.
Thank you.
Julia, you're the greatest.
No kidding.
You guys are so fun. This is just zipped by and I...
It was quick, right?
I just want a chance to do it again and be quick and witty and more.
You were, no, you were sublime.
Come on.
You were one of the dudes.
No, incredible. You were amazing. Come back anytime you
Can
want.
Can we just talk about the microphone that Will Arnett has in his apartment?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
What is up with that?
It's nice.
It's janky right now. I'm in a makeshift situation because I just moved in here yesterday.
Yo, let's get the whisper booth all set up, huh?
I know. It's not nothing's great. The internet's not great. I got the windows open because the AC is broken. I got a guy here.
You got a real vital VO career. You need to manage.
Don't we get to see? Oh, those chairs are nice.
Yeah, chairs.
Do we get to see your guest star?
Yeah. Where's your babe?
Yeah.
Let's pull your babe in real quick.
She just went out. Yeah. She just went out.
Oh, sure.
Oh, she just went out. Yeah,
just left.
Yeah.
I think it's all fake. It's a fake media story.
Mm. Mm.
No, we're thrilled for you.
Well, yeah, we are thrilled.
Julia, thank you so much. Thank you for saying yes to this.
Talk about a thrill.
Come back anytime you want, Mrs.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Just say hi to Danny. It goes without saying, I've been such a fan of yours for so long.
Likewise.
You're so great at what you do.
Yes.
Thank you.
Truly, more, please.
Truly.
Yeah.
Thank you. And can I just say, and sorry to leave you out, Sean, because I am your guest and I appreciate you so much.
That's okay. Likewise.
But Arrested Development, Danny and I ate that show up like ice cream. And I'm happy to report that our youngest son, who's 18, just started college. Episode 1 pilot, we just started all over again, him together.
Can you invite me over? Because I haven't seen them since then, and I want to watch them all again. And my kids won't watch anything I do.
Come over. We'll go back to the pilot. We will back this right up.
Jason and I haven't watched, we used to watch, when it first came on the air, I'd come over Sundays, we'd watch football together, and we'd watch the episodes as it aired. We were like, wow, this is so crazy.
Yeah, and then we'd wake up in the morning and we'd call in for the overnights.
Yeah.
It is
waiting
so
to be canceled.
That how much is going on all the time is it's
Mitch
extraordinary.
Hurwitz.
It is.
Well, you know Mitch Hurwitz. Julia, I know you know Mitch a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just spoke to for the first time in a few months, 2 days ago out of the blue.
How's he doing?
He's doing okay. Yeah. You know, he's the funniest guy. Immediately you start texting with him and he's the funniest person of all time.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, that show really is one in a million.
Sean's going to catch it one of these days. We're going to get some tapes, Sean.
We're going to make him watch it Clockwork Orange style.
Well, thank you, Julia, for being with us today. Yeah, enjoy the rest of your day, and good luck with the film.
Thanks.
After the Hunt.
Can't wait.
Coming in October.
After the Hunt.
October 10th.
October 10th. Yeah. Wide October 17th. My birthday, October 28th.
Oh, great.
That's my eldest. Okay. That's Franny's birthday, my eldest.
October.
It's a great day.
It's the big month now. It's
3 days after my son Archie and Wendell Clark's birthday. Okay, it doesn't matter.
It's like 3.5 months and couple weeks after mine. Anyway, I love you to pieces. Thank you for being
here. Lots of love, you guys. Thank you.
You too.
Bye.
Wow, Sean.
Isn't she great? I love... by the way, for so long, she's been on my list. I'm sure she's on all our lists.
Yeah. Of every list.
I know.
Name the list, she's at the top.
Iconic. I was looking at her list of credits, and you're just like, bang, 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 one big movie after another. It's just...
Has even taken pauses, you know, as she's elected to take pauses, and the industry just keeps her place in line. And she comes back in and she's just, bang, another incredible director she works with.
Yeah.
You know, it's an incredible career.
Yeah, and that movie's really good.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that movie.
It's not in the English countryside chasing foxes on horses, right?
No, this is not happening.
It's not about a salon after the hunt where we're sitting in the drawing room talking about the hunt. Yeah.
Wonderful shot back there, James.
What a hunt we had, eh?
Oh, that tricky little fox.
tricky little fox. What else can you say? She's, you know, I was going to ask her about being called America's sweetheart because she's been called that for her whole life and what that means. Like, if she hates that anymore, you know, it's like, it's true. Everybody, there's nobody that doesn't love her.
Right. But it's also like you can hate it, but like, it is something maybe you could look back on when you're, you know, lying on the bed taking your last 25 breaths and going like, that was pretty cool that I held that title, you know?
Yeah. I mean, for so long.
She's awesome.
And there's other friends of ours that has that title as well.
There are those that share it, for sure.
I share yes. it.
Well, hang on.
So many people.
No, I don't know.
Who's what thinking about, of a buy?
Yo, I know. Well, you're Googling something. Let's see what you found. So,
I just loved her story about that she kept the dresses from Runaway. Yeah.
Bye.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Rob Armjarv, Bennett Barbaco, and Michael Grant Terry.
Smart. Less.